Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Matthew left me after the accident. He didn't sound like John at all. He sounded confused. He said they were somewhere on, he thought I-10. He wasn't even sure where he wrecked the truck at. And disoriented. He didn't sound like he had a straight thought at all.
Hello, and welcome to episode 40 of The Vanished. Tonight, I'll be discussing the disappearance of 53-year-old Edward John Abeta. He goes by the name John or DJ, so I will call him John from here on out. I would like to thank John's wife Martha and his cousin Leora for taking the time to speak with me for this episode. In the early morning hours of Wednesday, June 29th, 2016, John was on his way home from Lumberton, New Mexico, when he was in a single vehicle accident in Rocky Ford, Colorado. He disappeared about 12 hours later. This is John's story. I did not have this episode planned out on my production schedule, but I came upon the story and felt like there was an urgent need for coverage because he had not gotten any media attention. How do you expect to find someone when no one knows they're actually missing? His family does not live in the Rocky Ford area, so they are stuck trying to find him from several states away. At the time of his disappearance, John was living in Blue Springs, Missouri, and was working for Hillshire Brands. One important thing that you must know about John is that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder just a few years ago. John set out on a trip to Lumberton, New Mexico around 2 a.m. on Sunday, June 26, 2016. He was going to work on a home that had belonged to a deceased family member. Another important thing to note about the story is that a couple years before this, John and Martha had taken in a girl named Vanessa, who was a friend of their granddaughter. He brought Vanessa with him with the idea that she could stay there and over the summer work on the house and oversee contractors. Leading up to his disappearance, John was not taking his medicine. John's wife Martha explained his plan and the timeline to me.
He went to Lumberton, New Mexico. The family still owns the property and the house that his grandfather built in the 1920s. And no one has taken care of the house in probably 10 years because the one cousin that was taking care of it had a stroke and couldn't take care of it anymore. Since then, she has passed. So he went out there to check on the house. This was his idea. And everybody kept telling him that he couldn't do that because the house is unlivable. It has no running water. Has an outhouse instead of a bathroom. And it's not livable yet. And that's what they're trying to bring it up to code so that they can stay in it for the summer or whatever they want to do with it. And he felt that Vanessa could go out there and stay in the house and get things done, hire a contractor and different things like that. He wasn't taking his medicine, so he wasn't thinking correctly. They left here on Sunday morning, and the truck broke down on Monday. They got that fixed, the radiator overheated. They got that all fixed, and they ended up down in Lumberton early Tuesday morning. Tuesday evening, I think it was around 10 p.m., they got back in the truck and headed back to Kansas City. The call, I believe, for the accident came in around 4:15 in the morning, Colorado time. He said that he fell asleep at the wheel, lost control of the truck, and he put it between a concrete barrier and a utility pole and totaled it. The tow truck driver, when they came out, they both refused treatment from the EMT. when they had the accident. The tow truck driver took them into Rocky Ford, Colorado, because they had the accident just outside of Rocky Ford. And it's a small town, so Uptown Video is where you can buy a bus ticket to get out of Rocky Ford. They don't open till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So him and Vanessa was sitting outside Uptown Video, because it's really not a bus station, and with all their things that they took out of the truck. And the people across the street, their name were Terry and Candy, invited them over, told them that they could, you know, sit over there. And, you know, they were talking and stuff. And John smoked cigarettes, so he was outside smoking. And Terry said that he kept complaining of a really bad headache. And he kept putting his hands on his head and trying to, like, push his the sides of his head into his brain to stop the pain. Had enough money to buy one ticket unbeknownst to him, rather. He didn't realize that he could have used his Visa card because we had paid the Visa card off and the payment had finally hit. And at that time, he wasn't answering any of my phone calls or anything when I tried to call him on his cell. So he didn't know that he could have bought two tickets. He bought one ticket for Vanessa, from what I understand. And that afternoon, around 5 o'clock, he walked over to her and hugged her and said he was going to go for a walk. And he left, and that's the last we've heard from him.
John's cousin, Leora, spoke with him around the time of his disappearance. She explained to me what he sounded like on the phone and in his voicemails.
I have at least 5 voicemails where I missed a call from him on the 28th. I still have the voicemail from Wednesday the 29th at 4:43 in the morning when he actually wrecked the truck and left me a message to let me know he was all right. And I talked to him on my way to work on the 29th at about 1:30 in the afternoon. He sounded tired. He didn't have any energy. He sounded like he was worn out. And one of the messages he left me was he was going to drive back and he wanted to talk to me so I could help keep him awake while he was driving. The message he left me after the accident, he didn't sound like John at all. He sounded confused. He said they were somewhere on, he thought I-10. He wasn't even sure where he wrecked the truck at, and disoriented. He didn't sound like he had a straight thought at all. Yeah, he didn't sound like himself at all. He didn't have a straight thought. But again, I know he was tired because he was trying to push it to get back home. I'm just really afraid that he hit his head or something. I really am, because he sounded so out of it. Words were like slurred.
Leora told me about something that John did that was very odd and shows us again that John was not in a good frame of mind leading up to his disappearance.
When they left a little kitten in my grandfather's house. Well, nobody lives there, but they thought the little kitten would be a good mouser. So they left this kitten in this house that is locked up and nobody goes to, and the neighbor was taking care of it for me until my son and my daughter-in-law got out there. They got the kitten and made sure the house was secured and the kitten, and then Martha came down from Colorado and got the kitten and stayed here in Albuquerque and went back to Missouri with the kitten. So he didn't even have the right state of mind to know that he couldn't leave a kitten in the house.
I asked Martha if in the past John had ever taken off before.
When he's off his medication, he'll threaten that he's going to leave. And he'll pack a suitcase and he'll go out and sit in the garage for a day or two. You know, come in and out of the house and say, I'm going to leave. I'm going to put my stuff in my car and leave. You know, and I usually can talk to him and get him back into the doctor and get him back into the facility where he can get his medication, back on his medication and stuff. But this was out of character when he really did pack up the truck and leave. Because he normally, you know, he'll say he's going to leave, but he's never, ever done this. We've been married 29 years. We were talking about going to Hawaii next year for our 30th.
I wonder if John had his cell phone on him when he left.
He did not take anything. He left everything with Vanessa. His cell phone, his wallet, The only thing that is missing is his driver's license and our bank account card, his debit card.
That debit card has not been used. John has a cousin who works in law enforcement in a different county in Colorado. She was able to help Martha get the ball rolling. Martha and her daughter then made a trip to Colorado to look for John.
His cousin, Shelley, is a sheriff in Colorado in a different county. And she's the one that got a hold and found out everything of what was going on because I didn't know even where to start. Found out, you know, Uptown Video and the tow truck driver and where the truck was and all of the history behind it. And so then my daughter, my oldest daughter, and I got in the car Thursday afternoon and drove out there. We got out there Friday morning, and that's when we went over to the people, Terry and Candy. They had his things, and I got everything from them. And we went around Rocky Ford a little bit, and there's a bar right down the road, but the bartender said she doesn't remember seeing him. But that doesn't mean he wasn't in there. Like I said, it looks like, you know, he walked out the back door or the front door and just vanished. It's like nobody saw him. There's a little convenience store right around the corner from Uptown Video, and we went in there, and they said that they didn't see him at all.
Vanessa mentioned to Martha that John had mentioned to her that he was going to go drown himself in the river.
Now, he did tell, or Vanessa, rather, because I don't know how true it is. Vanessa said that he was going to go commit suicide in the river. So when I talked to the police department, there's no river around there. Not only that, from what I've talked to different people, drowning is really hard to do because your body fights it. And he's a strong swimmer.
I looked at the area on Google Maps, and the closest river is the Arkansas River, which would have been about an hour walk from the Uptown Video. I also looked at how common it is for someone to commit suicide by drowning, and what Martha said is true. It is one of the most uncommon ways to commit suicide, and only accounts for about 2% of all suicides in the United States. No one has come forward to say that they saw John walking in that direction that evening. In fact, no one has seen John walking in any direction after he stepped outside.
We don't know which way he went. We don't know if he got picked up by a trucker. We don't know if he went home with one of the ranch hands. The officer that we were talking to in Rocky Ford said that if he's down on his luck, anybody can take him home. You know, put him to work on one of the farms, put him to work in one of the businesses. But as far as I know, he has not been seen. It's like he walked out the door and fell off the face of the earth.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
Where could John be? There are so many possibilities right now, and Martha told me that the police are not actively looking for him, but would let her know if they picked him up. I discussed some of the possibilities with Martha and Leora. There are two major issues here, one being that he was off of his medication. Leora told me that she believed that he was off of his meds for about 7 to 10 days before he went missing. We know that leading up to the accident, he was doing things that were erratic and out of character. The other issue is that he could have had a head injury. We know from what Leora said that he did not seem like himself when he called. He was even having trouble forming sentences. Vanessa and two other people at the video store said that he had been complaining of a severe headache. We need to keep those things in mind when we think about different theories because John's thinking was most likely not very clear. Could he be out there today suffering from amnesia? If he is, in fact, out there with amnesia, where could he be? Martha has been concerned that he could be a John Doe at a local hospital.
With the accident and his mental brain shutting down on him because he's not taking his medication, that he has amnesia maybe. Thought that maybe he had a stroke. And so we called around to the couple different medical centers around Rocky Ford because there's nothing right in Rocky Ford. You can ask for Edward John and they'll tell you if he's there, but they cannot legally tell you if there's a John Doe because of the privacy law. So, because we did call, because like I said, we did rent a hotel room right in Rocky Ford and we, you know, made phone calls and we went around a couple different places.
She did ask John's cousin, who was a sheriff, about the typical procedure when there is a John or Jane Doe in a local hospital.
And she said normally what they do is that if they have a John Doe, they'll call the local police or the sheriff department and have them come in. They may take his fingerprints, they may take pictures, and then they run it through the database and see if he is listed as missing. But no one has contacted us that he's anywhere.
I wondered if he could be in a homeless shelter. This reminded me of Adam Kellner's episode and the struggles that Cheryl had when she was trying to see if he was in a shelter. Leora discussed some of those same frustrations.
Yeah, that had entered our minds too. And I know the shelters here in Albuquerque, they won't give you that information either. They don't give you that information. So I don't even think they'll let you in to see who's in there. Here, you know what I mean? We haven't heard anything from any shelters.
Another theory is that he could be out there working on a farm or ranch somewhere, but why would he have left without all of his belongings? We already touched on the possibility of suicide. He did leave without his belongings. He has not been found, but no one has really looked. Did he go to the river? Leora told me about her worries.
Here's what I fear. I'm very practical. The way he was talking, being off his meds, not having enough fluids, I'm afraid he was dehydrated and he may have walked off somewhere and as tired as he was, laid down to go to sleep. And then with a hit on the head, maybe a concussion, anything could have happened. So at this point, I'm almost willing to bet the farm that he was dehydrated and he walked away.
Is it possible that John just decided to walk away from his life? Here is what I think. I obviously have no idea where John is, but I think that when you combine his mental state and the accident, he should be considered an endangered missing person. I do not think that he planned these events in advance so that he could walk away. He must be out there somewhere, hopefully still alive, and just dealing with some level of confusion or amnesia. John Abeta is 6'3" tall, with black hair and a beard. I'm going to put pictures of him on thevanishedpodcast.com and on Facebook and Twitter. I will also be sharing a poster. If you would like to help, please share the poster, especially if you live in that area. Someone may have seen him but is unaware that he is missing. If you have any information about John's disappearance, please call the Rocky Ford Police Department at 719 254-3344. There is also a Facebook group that the family has set up called Help Find Edward John Abeta. That brings us to the end of episode 40. I would like to thank Martha and Leora for taking the time to speak with me, and all of you for listening. If you would like to reach me, I am on Twitter at The Vanished Pod. There is a Facebook page and a private discussion group. If you have trouble finding the group, please message me and I'll send you a link. It is private so that your comments don't show to all of your friends and family. If you go to thevanishedpodcast.com, there is a topic suggestion form and a general contact form. If you have a missing loved one that you would like to have featured on the show, please contact me at thevanishedpodcast@gmail.com. I have a call-in line that numbers 814-VANISH-9. If you like this show, there are several things that you can do to help me keep making it better. First, subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Give The Vanished a positive review and share the show with your friends. Also, I would love to know a little bit more about you, so please complete a quick survey at wondery.com/survey. I promise it takes less than 3 minutes of your time. Again, that's wondery.com/survey. If you would like to contribute to the show to help me defray some of the production expenses, please visit patreon.com/thevanishedpodcast. There is also a PayPal button on the website. I would like to thank the listeners who have already done this. I truly appreciate it. Keep an eye out for episode 41, which will be about two teens who went missing together. It's a very, very interesting case.
You know, they didn't watch him at least for a while. You know, say if he's an accident with the tow truck driver or whatever, and, you know, just keep an eye on him and see. My late husband had diabetes, and one day I came home and he was disoriented, very disoriented. And this was when we first found out he had it. And I called 911, and they came out, and they looked at his vitals, and they checked him out, and they told me you need to go to the hospital. And he says, no, I'm not going to go. And they told him, well, either you go to the hospital on your own, or we're going to take you because you're not in the right state of mind, and you can't make a choice. I don't understand why they can do that in Colorado. You know what I mean? You're not in the right state of mind. You need to be checked out. This is what's going to happen. I don't understand why they didn't do that. That to me, it's bizarre to me that they just let him get in an accident. Obviously, by the messages, you can tell on my phone that he was not even completing sentences, and some of the sentences he was completing didn't make sense.
I understand that anybody who's paid attention to the media would have to come to the conclusion that I killed my wife.
Hi, my name is Zach Stewart Pontier. I'm one of the filmmakers behind The Jinx, and I'm excited to bring you the official Jinx podcast. We'll be revisiting all 6 episodes of part 1 and watching along with part 2 as it airs on Max, starting April 21st.
Bye-bye.
The official Jinx podcast. Listen on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.